It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Right on, keeping it going here. Second Dynasty podcast, first live broadcast of the year of 2018. Yeah. And I'm so excited. We just finished with FemDot, who was returning for a second interview, but tonight we have a debut, the first timer, Joseph Chilliams. Thank you so much, man. Thank you for being here.
Yay. Hey, you know, happy to be here, man.
I appreciate it. You got here a little bit early. You were hanging out with the bunny. You were hanging out with my cats, man. You were like making all sorts of new friends.
Hey, man, I love animals, you know?
Yeah, I love
it. That bunny's 10 years old, bro. I don't know if you knew this. Wow. I've never...
I don't know how old it is in bunny years.
Got to at least be 20, I feel
like. Yeah. Definitely got a license. He's wise. Yeah. So awesome, man. Thank you again for coming up here. I appreciate it. You're somebody who I've wanted to have on the podcast for a little while. Natalie, who's been working with us for a couple months, was able to put that together. So all very exciting. We always start out here, you know, first kind of question is just, how did music start for you? How did you, you know, start to consider yourself an artist? What are the origins of this for you?
Okay. Let me try to make this story as short as possible. Okay. So go back in time.
Maybe get a little bit closer. Yeah.
Get closer?
A little bit.
Get close. Like that?
Move the chair. Yeah.
Like that?
All
good.
Good. All good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was a hooper. I played basketball like every single day when I was a wee lad. And I went to a summer camp and when I was like 13. And after a while, they were like, man, all you guys are doing is playing basketball. Like, we want to, like, you know, introduce you to some other things. So it was like mandatory. We had to either just play board games. And they weren't even like the good board games. They were like things that I never, like, let's see, Yahtzee was there, mm-hmm. Monopoly was there, chess, but a bunch of other things I had never even heard of. Like, they, like,
like the stuff that's like, in, like, your grandma's basement?
Yeah, that, like, third, yeah. Like, not, like, real name brand, like, knockoff board games. Not good.
Right.
And the other thing that you can do was, like, there was, like, a spoken word class thingy. And I went there because all my friends went there, and I said like a little two-line poem at the end of it, and everyone laughed at it, you know? And I was like, oh, cool. And so I started going to that like every week. And by the end of it, I was just like, I wasn't even writing anything. I was just like freestyling in front of everyone. And it was still like getting the same results. And I was like, oh man, this is cool, you know? So that's how I got into writing myself. But I didn't like pursue rap until like a lot later in life when I realized that I wasn't going to the NBA.
Right.
And, yeah, I fell back into writing, and luckily, like, I come from, like, a musical family, and it was, like, very easy for all of us to just, like, you know, figure out what we want to do and, like, make music together, like.
Yeah, and you had that support.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you were, like, first starting out and you were getting that response, you know, when you're first writing, like, do you think what encouraged you was just the fact that people were laughing, people were responding, people were reacting to it?
Well, what encouraged me, motivated me, like all of that. What got me into it was just like I always wrote with like the audience in mind, mm-hmm. you know? So it was cool when like these things that I thought, you know, people would like, things that I thought were good, you know, went over well.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so it's just like, oh damn, you know, I'm not tweaking, you know, like no, this is a, you know, this is cool, you know, or this is good or this is okay. Like, you know, so it was, you know, it's always just like that experimentation. Like, you never know how someone's going to respond.
But that positive reinforcement, man, like, that makes a difference, especially when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that can make or break something.
Yeah, you know? I could imagine. Like, if everybody, like, was like, boo, you suck. Like, this is terrible. Like, I'd probably be in a, you know, entirely different situation.
Right.
In my life, which is crazy to even think about.
But when you're young, you don't have those, like, defenses. You don't have the emotional maturity to be like, they don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it was cool, man. It was, it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we just, you know, we rap all the time now. It's cool. We got like a thing to do. We got a career to pursue. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's nice.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the big milestone that happened for you last year that everyone knows about is Henry Church, the full length that dropped in August of 2017, right? Was that the... that time frame.
That is correct, yes.
How did it feel to finally put that out into the world?
That was crazy as hell. It's like, again, you don't know how people really feel until, like, you know, it's actually out. Like, you know, you give it to them. Like, so it's just like you thinking that, you know, man, I hope everybody, you know, I hope people like this. I hope it does something, you know. And then you put it out. And, like, you know, even before I dropped it, like, I did the listening party in, like, June, I think. Mm-hmm. And with that, that was, like, the first thing that I ever done, like, in Chicago. Like, it was, like, you know, I was just like, hey, everyone, come listen to my project. Like, I finished it. Come listen to it. And people were out the door. Like, it was like, damn, all these people really want to listen to it. So, like, it was like I was feeling good coming into releasing a project. And when I finally put it out, it was like, wow. Like, it was like, you know, it's like a weight, a huge weight had been lifted. Like, you know, because I finally, like, completed.
Right.
You know, this thing that I've been working on for forever. So, yeah, man, it just felt really good to finally make a thing, you know, give birth, you know, drop a kid off at the park, let him play, you know.
No, absolutely. Well, it really is like suddenly you're a creator. You have something that you can take ownership of that exists out in the world for other people to react to and hopefully not boo at.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's, you know, the tape, it's cool, like, people always come up to me, and they're like, yeah, man, my favorite project of the year, like, you know, blah, 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 like that's pretty much the best thing that you could say to me, like, because it's like, I'm, you know, you don't know how people feel, so whenever someone is saying anything about my music, I'm like, damn, you know, they listened and they like had a reaction to it. Like, they could be like, man, you know, this, I hate this song like entirely. Like, that's good to hear too.
But you're like, but you listened to it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But you listened to it and you felt something. Like, so if someone tells me like that I suck, like that's even more, that's probably more important because it's like, damn, okay, I know that, you know, I can rap better. Like, I could do something better, you know, but
sure.
People saying anything is really cool. But, like, a lot of people, like, the second it came out, they're like, oh, man, this is one of my favorite projects of the year. And it dropped in August, so, like, a lot of year had happened.
Right.
You know? So it was cool that, you know, people felt that strongly.
Well, and it got a really good critical response, too. Was that something you were anticipating? Like, the fact that so much of the, like, media community or however you want to define it was going to be responsive to the record?
Yeah. I mean, the way I feel about it is if you sit with the tape and you listen to it, you know, you're gonna figure something out. Like, you're gonna either be like, damn, this dude is crazy as hell, or like, damn, this is great, or like, what even is this? Like, man's not hot, man's need to sit down. You know, like, you know, like, you can't it's really hard to be indifferent
for sure
to what's going on. And that's really just my only thing. Like, I just want, like, if you actually listen to it, to be like, something happens, like, to you, like, while you're listening to it. So that's really just the main thing. So, like, critics really being like, damn, you know, like, it's cool. Cause, like, they have to sit there and listen to it. Like, I always felt like if you listen to it, like, you'll take something away.
No, absolutely. From it,
you know, like, that's, you know, my whole writing style. Like, that's just my main objective. Like, you know, leave with something, you know, like, you always want to have them, because, you know, like, when you listen to a song for the first time, it's like, and it's a good song, like, this part is your favorite, this line is your favorite, like, it's a moment,
right?
You know, so, like, I tried to put as many moments as many moments on there that I could think of, you know. So it's cool when, like, you know, people have favorite songs, you know, critics are like, man, you should shoot a video for this, like, you know, like, it's all good, all good love. The love was it's always unexpected, but it's definitely what you're going for. So it's like, you know, it's cool when that happens. You know?
No, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Like, you do take something away when you listen to it. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of moments. There's a lot of really interesting lyrical wordplay on the record. And a lot of references, too.
Yeah, man. Like, hella references.
Lot of references.
I'm observant, you know? So it's
sure.
Like,
yeah.
Whatever I can, like, bring you. Whatever I can, like, be like, have you be like, oh, man, I remember that. You know, whatever that is, like, I'm always searching for that, like, trying to find a way to make it fresh and, you know, all just, you know, reminisce about this whatever experience. Because that's, like, we all share the same experiences. Like, mm-hmm. life is hella different for everyone, but like there are certain things that we all
shared,
we can all relate to, you right. know? So it's like I'm always trying to find that thing, whatever that is, and like, you know, talk about it, bring it up, you know, because it's like it's no different. Like if I was talking to you and I was trying to find something that we could both talk about, you know, like easy thing, you know.
Well, you walked in here and you got here about a half hour before we started the broadcast, and like you saw the bunny, and yeah. I have never met you before, and within 2 minutes we were just like bonding over animals before we even talked about any podcast, any music stuff. Like we both found that common ground of like, oh shit, we both love animals.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So you did this interview last year with Lior from
yeah.
The Reader, and it was in September, and it was very in depth. It was really insightful.
That was really tight.
It was a great interview, and I'm not surprised because yeah. Lior is he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it felt like
he's good at his job.
It was like meeting with a man on a mountain. You know,
yeah.
And he's just wise and noble, and he's just like blessing you with all this knowledge. Like that's what it felt like talking to that man.
No, absolutely, man. And he's somebody who's been on this podcast, and like I said, he knows his shit, and he does good mm-hmm. interviews. He does his prep, so I'm not surprised. But something that really came across to me when I was reading that is that it came across how important it was for you to establish yourself as an artist. How important it was for you to kind of like make clear that like. That was a really big part of your identity. Like, am I reading that right?
You're reading that right. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
Like, you know, just the journey to establish yourself in your music.
So the thing about it is, it's like Chicago in and of itself, you know, outside of it being like, you know, one of the most amazing cities ever, it also has one of the craziest and just popping music scenes.
Sure.
You know, like everybody's dropping music and it's all hot. Like, so if you dropping music, it gotta be crazy. Like you can't chill here. You know,
no.
Like if you was in, you know what I'm saying? If you was in Rhode Island, bro, you know, who lives in Rhode Island? You could hella, you know what I'm saying? Damn, that's cool. Just normal music. Damn, that's cool. Get you a following, like all that. Like the standard here is so crazy that it's like you gotta establish yourself. Like you can't, you know what I'm saying? You can't just like be like, oh man, I'm cool and I'm just waiting for mine. Like, nah, cause you're gonna be waiting regardless of how.
Sure.
So like you gotta make it the craziest thing, the most amazing thing that you can drop because we don't got time to do nothing else. Like, cause it's like your moment that you looking for is happening right now for at least 14 other people. Like even
right.
like whatever you want is hella people that you know you are friends with that are doing it. So it's like you see that every day. So like those type of situations, and when you coming into it for the first time, you already know so much. And it's like so many, you know what I'm saying? So many situations, so many people that you already know, relationships you built. And it's like, why not do it to the best of your ability? So like establishing yourself as an artist, just in general, that's something that you should do. But when you in a place like Chicago, like the Chicago, like you got to, like it's, you know what I'm saying? Like nobody should hear your music and really, like when people hear your music, they should know that like that's you, you know, like you should have something that stands out because there's so much going on here. Like if you can't stand out, you wasting your time.
No, you're right. I mean, the standard is so high right now in this moment that we're in. And it's just amazing when you were describing that hunger and that like the fact there is no time to waste. It's real 8 Mile.
Yeah.
Like you got real lose yourself where it's just like, you know, there's no more time to waste. Like this is the moment.
Mom spaghetti.
But you know what? That movie's in Netflix, and I rewatched it the other day. I hadn't seen it since like 2003 or whenever.
Mm.
And I was like, holy shit, this is real motivational.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's real urgent.
I mean, you could do anything you set your mind to, man. Like,
I didn't know. I had no idea when I booked this interview that we were going to, like, detour into 8 Mile, man. But it is amazing to me that, like, you really, really went for it. You were not asleep at the wheel on this record. It really was. It felt like your, like, make-or-break moment.
Yeah, man. Every like, cause that's the thing, man. Like, all of this is temporary in general. You know, like when you talk about music, like it could be here today, gone tomorrow. But like, even just getting that opportunity, like that's a temporary thing. Like what we're doing right now, we could not be doing that tomorrow. So it's like all this that come along with living in this city, like, and knowing what's going on, like, you got to put your best, like, your absolute best, like, hold nothing back. Like, I don't want to, like, drop a tape and be like, man, I could have, you know what I'm saying?
Because somebody else is going to do it better. Like, yeah, everybody is operating, and not just music, but, like, you know, the publications, the photographers, the mm-hmm. promoters, like, everybody in the Chicago creative, the filmmakers, the fashion, like, mm-hmm. in the city right now, everybody is upped their game.
Yeah.
Everybody's operating at the top of their game because everybody else is. Mm-hmm. So nobody wants to be the one who's just kind of, like, half-assing it.
Yeah. And yeah. those people exist. And there's people that are, you know, just trying to coast off of what other people are doing. But, you know, I'm trying to, like, establish my own lane, my own brand nowadays. That's a very good word to use.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just, like, you come to me for what I do and not, like, who I'm associated with, not, you know, features that I've had, you know, like, come to me for what I do. You know, like, that's, like, what was most important with, like, establishing Henry Church. Like, if you was already here and you hear this project, you're going to stay here.
Right.
You know, so that's what I was, you know, that's what I was going for.
And again, in that interview, like, I remember reading that, like, you know, you kind of, you were getting, you know, it was a lot of, like, Saba and Pivot.
Yeah.
And you were like, yo, I'm not just and Pivot.
Yeah,
you
man. Know? No, see that? Okay. So that, the reason why that pissed me off, for real.
Okay.
Is just because this Sab didn't even drop a project yet. Like, so this is like, you know what I'm saying? He got a song out. He got one song out, and it's already Saba and Pivot. I'm like, no, what do you mean? Like, bro, y'all better chill. On a flyer, bro. It's a pivot set. That shit says Saba and Pivot. I'm like, nah, y'all tweaking, because no, that's disrespectful. I would not stand for that. So that's really where that came from. Like, anybody want to say Saba and, you know what I'm saying, Joseph and, Mello and, you know, feel free now, you know. But back then, when he had one song out, not even, like, nah, bro, they mm-mm.
But you know what?
I will not.
Now, now everything says Joseph Chillums. It's got your name. It says Henry Church. You're not just Ann Pivot anymore. So something I wanted to ask about, and I don't want to bring the interview down. I don't want to, like, get too heavy, but...
Oh, man, you can do whatever you want to. It's your interview.
Yeah, well, it's our interview, man. We're equal. It's an equal partnership here. But, you know, in that reader piece, you know, you talked about having a really... some really intense setbacks. I think some things that that you went through that... for other people, they probably would have just given up. You know, you were attacked, you were assaulted on the street.
Yeah, man.
You lost some people really near and dear to you.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, like, you know, I guess continuing on past those obstacles, because again, some people would not have done it. Like, what kept you going as an artist?
I mean, okay, so one, like, as an artist, I feel like this is what I was put here to do, right? So, as long as, you know what I'm saying, there's a breath in my body, I'm able to, like, this is what I'm going to do. You know, like, there's nothing that can stop me from pursuing that and, you know, reaching for that. But all this, they definitely make you sit down, you know what I'm saying, and chill out in a corner somewhere. Because it was setback after setback after setback.
Sure.
And... yeah, man, just, you know, and it sucks just because, like, a lot of the people that I lost are, the main people who were with, one, like, Walt, losing a member of Pivot.
Mm-hmm.
That is just, like, what the fuck? Like, what are we talking about right now? Someone that you see every day that you, like, someone that you're dreaming with.
Right.
Like, that's a whole nother thing, because it's like there's shit that I've, like, talked to Walt about, Walt's talked to me about, that I know now could never happen, you know? So that's just, like, a whole nother, because it's like I spoke to him every day, so I know, like, you know, what he was planning, you know, like, all that. So just seeing that just, like, gone and knowing what he was working on, like, it's just, like, you know, like, everything that I know, it just makes it very, it makes it even harder, you know, like.
Right. It's a very bittersweet victory, I would imagine.
Yeah, like, man, it's like, it, you know, it's cool because we get to like actually do these things that we talked about, you know, but like every single, like every accolade I get to, every, you know what I'm saying, achievement, every, you know what I'm saying, tier that I go past or whatever, it's just like you always think about, you know what I'm saying, like he, you know, should be here, how proud he would be, like, you know, shit like that. And then, like, you know, like my granddad passing, like what was that? That's probably like a month later, you know? Yeah. And not being able to just, you know what I'm saying, hit him up, be like, hey, this is what we did, you know what I'm saying, like that. You know, it's just like, damn, she like, this was the first Christmas, you know, without him. And it's like, damn, bro, life be, you know what I'm saying, life be on some shit, man. I'll tell you one thing.
And it happens all, it always happens all at once.
Yeah, when those, man, things,
it, you know.
It was crazy as hell because we was on tour. Like, tour was, it was like Walt funeral, and then tour was like a week after that.
Yeah.
So we grieving at a sold out show, you know, like it's like what, you know, like it's like the most high, like positive feeling you could ever have in the worst feeling, like simultaneously, you know? So it's just like, you know what I'm saying? You somewhere in the middle, I guess, you know? So it was an experience.
Yeah.
It was crazy as hell. It still is, you know, like we coming up on a year since he passed. So it's just like, what, like this really feels like the longest year of my life. Like it feels like it's been like quicksand. Like it, you know.
Were you just so ready for that clock to change on December 31st and just be like, get the hell out of 2017?
I mean, so yeah, definitely. Cause it's like, man, maybe we can get like, you know, maybe, you know what I'm saying? We could start anew and get some more positivity going. But at the same time, it's like, damn, it's just time is passing, you know? And it's just like, the more time goes on, the more it's like, you know what I'm saying, things that they can't do, you know, like situations that you would love to share with these people, you know, but you can't, you know, like, so it's just like, it's again, it's probably always going to be like, you know, very bittersweet, because it's like, look how beautiful all this is, you know, but like, you know, can't share it with the people that really should be there,
right?
You know,
yeah. And again, I didn't mean to bring it down, but I just thought it was remarkable because
it's a part of
the story, and it's like,
you know what I'm saying? Oh, and I got hit in the face with a gun,
and you got hit in the face with a gun.
For all y'all that, hey, like,
listen, you know it's a bad year when you forget that you got hit in the face with the gun.
I legit forget. I got my face broken, everyone who doesn't know. I got my face bashed in with a gun on election night, November 8th.
And, that's just insult to injury.
Yeah, the doctors didn't want to tell me Trump won. It's very funny. But, yeah, so I had to get a reconstructive surgery, plastic surgery, and they had to put two plates in my face. So I have two metal plates in my face, and it's like right there. This is like the only scar, but like you can't really see it because
you can't tell.
They put it right on the crease of like that's normally right there with your eye and whatnot because they know what they're doing and they wanted me to be cute out here still.
Mm-hmm.
And they had my back. They definitely held me down. Obamacare held me down too. I'll tell you one thing. That was. I would not be here. I would be, oh man, I'd probably be a loan shark right now or something, just trying to get down on people to make this money back. Cause it was, but yeah, man, it worked out fine.
thank goodness.
Yeah, man. And they didn't, the people that, you know, tried to rob me, only reason I say tried is cause I didn't have anything on me. They definitely robbed me, but they got nothing. Like it was, they got my book bag, and in that book bag was some Altoids and a broken umbrella. So,
still like an $11 trip to Walgreens.
Yeah, man, like not just, even that, because they don't even sell broken umbrellas there. Like, so you don't have to.
Completely worthless.
Yeah, so it was, you know, but to each his own. Like, you know what I'm saying? It makes sense why they did it. Like, I was by myself chilling, and it was four of them, you know? So I didn't lose consciousness. I didn't. I got hit in the face hard enough to, like, break everything that was going on, but I was wide awake the whole time. Like I'm on the floor, I got hit hard as hell, And like, so I'm saying, yeah, leaking. I'm like, oh, that's me. That's me on the floor. Oh, all God. That DNA, you know. And I turn, I like fall to the floor because impact, hard as hell. And then after they turn me like over so they could like run my pockets and whatnot. And I'm just looking them in the face. I'm like, I'm just looking. I'm like, yeah, man, they like, what's in the bag and whatnot. I'm like, fuck.
Like, you're going to be real disappointed.
Damn, man. I don't even, you know, like, they just give us the bag. I'm like, at this point, bro. yeah.
You could have led with that.
Just, yeah. So it was that low key, that's hella funny right now. Talking about that. That's just humor. But yeah, man, I came out okay. And it's crazy. All this happened and I was still working on my tape. Like, my tape was not done while I was doing all this. So it was cool to like complete it and like, you know, get it out and have people fuck with it. Cause it's like, I went through a lot to make it. So it's cool that people actually like it, you know?
Yeah, no, I think it's remarkable that going through all that, you didn't say fuck it. You didn't quit. You weren't like, God, I can't go through with this. Like, you put it out and hopefully it felt like a victory when that finally was, you know, out there.
Yeah, man, the real victory for me was when I sold out my first show, like the first headliner. That was
where was
really
that
cool. At Shubas.
Shubas. And that's a great room.
That was at Shubas. That was really cool because I didn't even know I could do that. That was, you know, all things like, oh, man, look at that. Like, this actually did work out. You know, like, that's, you know, that's always very, very happy moments, you know, when you surprise yourself. Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, yeah, that was definitely the victory. That felt like a victory. Like, when I stepped on stage and everybody, oh, man, House of Blues. Then we sold out the House of Blues after that.
For John Walte.
That's definitely the victory lap. I'm calling it right now. I stepped on stage at the House of Blues. It's like 1375 people there. 1375
people. That's a serious
there.
Room.
And yeah, it was like, and like the next act was like Macklemore or like, you know, Rage Against the Machines or something. Like just big acts that you know.
Right.
Like, so it was cool. And I stepped on stage and everybody screamed, bro. Like, I didn't even do anything. I just stepped on stage and everybody screamed. And I was like, okay, man. It was like the end of a movie, you know? Like
right.
You know, it was cool.
That's like your triumphant third act, though.
Yeah.
It's like you really went through the ringer in the second act. And third act, it's like you take these stages and that's like, that is, you're like, oh, man, I made it through.
Mm-hmm.
I survived.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, on a lighter note, something that stuck out to me that is not quite so heavy. Mm-hmm. You have a song called Fergie on the record. I was reading one of your interviews. You're talking about, like, Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, clearly you're a man who loves himself some pop, right?
Yeah, love
like,
pop.
Like, is that something that throws people off? Because I love pop. Like, I
throws
I
a lot of people
there's no
off,
shame
man.
In that.
A lot of people don't believe I really like Fergie.
Fergie's like, tight, though.
They thought I was just, like...
That Duchess record?
They thought I was
bangers.
Trolling or something. The Duchess, bruh, like... Every single on there, like every Fergie song you know, is on that one album. Like who? Like that's like up until Katy Perry dropped the
Teenage Dream.
Yeah. It had the record for like singles on the album. Like because it's just like every
glamorous.
Single was, every like, single was crazy fire. Yeah. Fire.
Clumsy
yeah.
or whatever.
So,
like
yeah. So
there
Fergie
were a bunch
is
of bangers.
Yeah, man. So I'm a huge Fergie fan. Pussycat Dolls.
Sure.
Britney Spears. I really like Britney Spears when she working with like the Neptunes or like Danger.
Mm-hmm.
So Blackout is my favorite Britney Spears album because all the beats on there knock. Like it's like really fire.
I love it, man. And again, like I'm someone who unabashedly loves pop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because it's like I grew up working in a radio station here in Chicago. It was a hard rock station, Q101.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I went to like Ozfest. I was front row for like Rob Zombie and Slayer and Black Sabbath when I was in high school. And now it's like I was front row a few years ago for Katy Perry. It's like,
nah, man, that's what's beautiful about life, man. Like you don't gotta, you know what I'm saying? You can follow your own beat of your own drum and whatnot. Like it's, you know, and with iPods and all that, like I really feel like iPods changed music for everyone because it's like you can listen to like everything that you want to. So like now you don't have to.
You
just
have to
be like, man, I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to like 107.5. You know, I'm like you had to choose before, and now it's like everything. So, So yeah, man, really big in the internet in general. Like when I first got a laptop, the first album I downloaded was Nelly Furtado.
Oh, Nelly Furtado, that was another one, man. Those first two records.
Whoa Nelly was the first. I was just definitely listening to that. Yeah, Man Eater, bro. Yes, man. Don't even get me started.
Shit on the Radio is so good.
Yeah.
It's a whoa. Oh.
Don't do that. Don't do that, me. I'm talking to myself.
There we go. Let's see. Let's see if it still looks good. Yeah, we're all good.
Okay. Sorry.
No, man, I love it. You have a show. So talking about like these victory laps, you have a show happening this coming week, Lincoln Hall, Thursday, January 11th. Yeah. And you're doing something really cool with Audio Tree, right?
Yeah.
Talk about the project with Audio Tree that you're doing in conjunction with this show.
So they're doing a thing. And they just so happen to let me be the guinea pig. They're starting this thing where they put on a show, and to like make it even more interesting and cool, they like film, you know, like Audio Tree, they always film like artists doing like
the live
sets,
performances.
But they filmed it, they like this cool venue like downtown. It's like a restaurant, like they like rent it out, and they let me go up in there and perform, and I was like, what? And so like they filmed it, and they're gonna show it at the show. Like, so it's gonna be like, you know, you get like three, four performances, like actually, like, cause it's gonna be all us performing. And then we all got like these very exclusive, no one's ever seen, never done before, live video as well.
And that's a good room to watch that. I remember going to, so the Chicago Grammy chapter, like the Grammy members of Chicago, they over the years have done different showings of the actual Grammy Awards. Mm-hmm. You know, like they did it at Talia Hall one year. They've done it at different places. And I know at least one year, if not two, but I know at least one year I went to Lincoln Hall and they were doing a screening there. And it's a cool space to actually like not only, of course, watch music, but also like view something that's pre-recorded.
Yeah.
It's a good viewing room.
Lincoln Hall, good viewing room, good sound in there too. Like definitely one of my, they sound always on point. So I'm very excited. And Lincoln Hall, like it's one of the venues I've always wanted to.
It's a great room.
Perform at. So I was very excited.
How did that come together? Because I know you already had the show, but like, how did you get connected with Audio Tree? Did they reach out to you or?
Yeah, man, they reached out to me. I don't know how or who they've been talking to. but they hit me up and were like, hey man, do you want to do this thing? And like, it, yeah, man, I'm super excited about it. Audio Tree and Consequence of Sound.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Putting it together has something to do with Heineken. Yeah, man, the proceeds, some of the proceeds going to charity.
Yeah. To Foundation of Music. It's a Chicago nonprofit. They work towards providing music education and creative opportunities to CPS students.
Yeah.
Which, like we were just talking about with Femda, that's really crucial.
Yeah, hella.
It makes a difference.
You need something to do after school, man. That is not a lie.
No, for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, all right, man. This has all been incredible. And, you know, you've been through so much leading up to the release of the album. Like, now that we're in a new year, now that you've got, you know, at the very least, the show coming up this Thursday, and I know there's more, like, do you have kind of more of a sense of optimism right now about what's ahead of you?
I mean, all my optimism really comes from tour.
Yeah.
Because when you leave Chicago and see that people like your music in other places, it's like, damn, okay. Like people really do like what I'm doing. So it's like, okay, I'm going to continue. Like that's just like fuel for the fire. You know, like I went to Poland and like people flew in from Israel just to see me rap, like
that's so cool
in Poland. So it's like, what? Like, what are you talking about, dude? Fellow person. So it was like all these little moments just add up, and it's like already this is what I was gonna do. But it's like when you're getting that reception and those like you know small conversations with these people who like love your work, it's like, man, why would I ever stop? You know. So it's definitely like the most optimism because I'm more aware of the like the fans out there and like all the people that are already embracing what I'm doing. Like we just getting started, you know? So it's so much to look forward to. I got so many. Ooh, I'm dropping a video next week too. That's a cool thing.
Which video? Which track?
Fergie.
I can't wait.
I'm dropping a video for Fergie on Wednesday. So
is Fergie in it?
No.
No.
Fergie's not in it.
You're going to get to that point, though.
She is single now, and a lot of people are... The second
man,
she,
that Milk Money video?
The second she got divorced or whatever, hella people were hitting me up like, bro.
Shoot your shot.
Hey, shoot that shot. So I'm going to let y'all know how that go. Or all maybe right, not. I'm, you know, one day though.
Yo, I look forward to the interview where I'm sitting down with you and Fergie. Power couple.
Oh, man. That's... Oh.
That's what we're putting out into the universe for
that's
you.
That's the best. Hey, man. Shout out this year already.
Shout out Fergie.
Yeah, man. Shout out Fergie. Fuck Bow Wow.
I love it, man. Joseph Chillum's, the record is called Henry Church. It's been out for a few months. It's killer. It's a lot of fun, man. And I'm so glad to see everything happening for you. And I'm so glad we got to this conversation, man. You're someone I wanted to talk to for a minute.
This was beautiful.
Thank you for coming out, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely. Thank you to everybody listening and watching. More Dynasty podcasts all year as we head towards our 1,000th episode before the end of the year. Yeah.
Wow.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.